My Leela 25.133. How all the residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. Om Magina Timirandasya Inanjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Hena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Guru Dev, Srila Acharya Dev, Ki Jai, Gauru Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Gauru Premanandi, Hari, Hari Bol. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaja Ki Jai. Bhagavan Eka Asedham Agra Atman Anam Vibahu Atme Chan Ugatav Atma Anana Matyupalakshanaha. Before the cosmic manifestation was created, the creative propensity was merged in the Supreme Lord's person. At that time, all potencies and manifestations were preserved in his personality. The Lord is the cause of all causes, and he is the all-pervading, self-sufficient person. Before the creation, he existed with his spiritual potency in the spiritual world, wherein various Vaikuntha planets are manifested. Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 3.5.23. Ete chamsa kalaha pumshaha Krishnastu bhagavan svayam Indrari vyakulam lokam Mridayanti yuge yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead are either plenary portions or parts of plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. But Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different features when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. Purport, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.28 for an explanation. See Adi Leela, Chapter 2, Text 67. Plenary portion. Means possessing all potencies, all the potencies of the Lord, plenary. Either they're plenary portions containing the same, basically the same functions or powers as the original Lord, the Adipurush, or parts of the plenary portions of the Purusha avatars. So there are divisions of the Lord, and then there are divisions of his divisions. Aita sambandha suna abhideya bhakti bhagavate prati shloke vyape yarastiti. There, this is one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, please hear about the execution of the devotional service. This principle pervades each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Can you hear? Can everyone hear?
I can hear Maharaj.
Okay, then just with
I can hear Maharaj.
Okay, maybe just a problem with India connection. So this is one's eternal relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that we are, that the living entities are protected by the Lord through his different features. Yes. Pritranaya sarunam vinashaya chaduskutam. He comes to adjust the situation for us by his power, by his potencies. So he is always active in the world, always effective in the world. Whenever the need arises, he manifests his potency, his help for his devotees and punishment for the non-devotees. Bhaktayam bhaktyaham ekayagrayaha sharayatma priyaha satam bhaktihi punati manishtaha manishta svapakan api sambhavat. The Lord Krishna said, being very dear to the devotees and sadhus, I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. This bhakti yoga system, which gradually increases attachment for me, purifies even a human being born among dog eaters. That is to say, everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform by the process of bhakti yoga. A verse from the Bhagavatam 11:14-21. Asadayati mam yogo na sankhyam dharma urava na sadaya yastapastyago yata bhaktir mamurjita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, said, my dear Uddhava, neither through Astanga Yoga, the mystic yoga system to control the senses, nor through impersonal monism, or an analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charities, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service unto me. And purport, this is a quotation from the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-20 for an explanation. Adi Lila, chapter 17, text 76 is there. Bhayam dvityabhi viniveshita syad isharapat e apetasya viparya yosmitihi tanmaya yato pura abhijetam bhaktyaikayesham gurudeva tatma. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, he is overpowered by fear. Because he is separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. This is called viparya smriti. To nullify this mistake, one who has actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipful deity and source of life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. Viparyo smriti means, viparyo means reversed his position, and asmriti, and because he had no proper conception of his relationship with the Lord. Properly understanding he has a relationship with the Lord, and viparya means that becomes lost, perverted or inverted. Reversal of position. It becomes viparya, means inverted or reversed. His remembrance of God becomes reversed. Smriti. Smriti means to remember, smaran. So remembering the Lord becomes reverse, means he's forgetting, completely forgets about Krishna. And by forgetting about the dominator, the predominator, by forgetting the predominator, he becomes himself the predominator. The living entity forgets that there is a predominator already, and he thinks himself, therefore, the predominator. Instead of understanding that he is the dependent part, not independent part. And then he tries to take the position of dominator. And then it says, to nullify this mistake, to nullify this error in perception, in judgment, and thinking, what does he do? He becomes learned in the knowledge and worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, worshipful deity and source of life. By taking the spiritual master as good as God, in other words, one tries to become obedient to Gurudev. By taking Gurudev as good as God and becoming obedient to him, then we have a practical way of submitting ourselves to the domination, to be dominated by God. Our position, our consciousness is to be predominated. So if we willingly take up the position of servant of Guru, and then not only predominated by Guru, that we are obedient, means obedient to the order of Guru, obedient to the will of Guru, then we have a practical application of this change of consciousness that's required of us. A practical application will be there. Of course, that is a beginning stage, but nonetheless necessary. We are beginners trying to understand how I am the servant of God. And so we take up this position, with at least with respect to one person. And then gradually we must understand that is our constitutional position in all circumstances. And we are not to lord it over anyone, or not to exploit, but our life is to be one of dedication and love. By worshiping Guru and deity and devoting our whole life like that as the source of our life. Krishna is the source of life. Life comes from life. And the supreme life is Krishna. So one who has that, who has reached full consciousness of Krishna, he knows that his source of his own life is in Krishna's hands. And then doesn't try to make a life for himself or herself apart from Krishna, as if that life was in his own hands. Our life is in Krishna's hands. Prabhupada used to pray, you may kill me or save me as you like. He understood fully. His life was coming from Krishna, and therefore he could not think that he was in any way, his life was an independent power, an independent energy on its own. Those who are forgetful of Krishna, they have that idea. They think, what do I need God for? I have my life, I have my free will, I have my energy. And I got it by accident. Somehow or other I got it, that's all. well, everything here came by accident. There is no God in behind everything. Everything went by chance. By chance, I got this life, so I'm going to use it, take advantage of it, and go on, live my life in whatever way I like. Don't worry about God. So this is unintelligent, and this is basically ignorance, because he can't understand. Somehow devotees have the good fortune of having the intelligence to understand there is God. That's acquired after millions of lifetimes. Maybe acquired after millions of lifetimes. And of doing good works, being a good soul, somehow or other, to get that blessing. To be born in a pious family. And to have some sense of these things and of God. And understanding one's relationship with him. A great blessing for those who have that. And some are not so fortunate. And they don't have that idea. And rather they are thinking of other things. How to be independent. How to prove to others that there is no God. Like this. What's his name? Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris. Christopher Hitchens, who is now dead. These modern atheists, they are writing books and preaching to the people. Don't worry, there is no God. Darwin has assured us that we don't have to think about God and purpose in our life. By the word, he is our prophet. And all of this talk of God, we can try to erase that from our lives and our minds, the God illusion. So this kind of mentality is there, in that has no knowledge of God, and then they are trying to spread that to others also. So we should not let them do that. We have to preach. We have to counteract that. They're preaching. We have to counteract their preaching. Otherwise, now they are making camps for atheists, young children. They go to camp. Why should they go to a camp that they're talking about God and having prayers? Let them come to an atheist camp so they can get some energy from other atheists and know that they should remain in the strong atheistic spirit. Don't be influenced by the theistic spirit. Let them associate with other atheist children so they know they are not different. And they have a powerful force in the world, because there are so many of them. And like that, to feed them the atheistic mentality. And these people are doing that and encouraging that and in teaching that. So how important it is to preach, to counteract that kind of preaching. Of course, if you preach to these people, if they don't have the necessary sukriti, they won't hear. They won't be able to hear or understand what you're saying, and they will actually blaspheme. So our only hope is that those who do have the good credit, but they are somehow or other influenced by these people. They think, oh, they're such saying something truthful. Those innocent people we have to try to preach to, try to reach. If we don't say anything and just let them go, then they will become influenced by that atheistic section. So he wanted to say something to oppose them. And those who are innocent, they may listen. They may realize, oh, there is something, some evidence, some reasoning. Some people who are very nicely convinced and a scientifically minded persons who understand the existence of God and are not simply, like the atheists are saying, some delusion or some superstition. We can recognize the wonderful knowledge there is of God sometimes because of the teachings of Mahaprabhu and of our Guru Varga. They give so much knowledge of these things, so many nice books. People grow up in the Christian world or other religious traditions, and they really don't learn very much about God. So they don't have much to base their faith on. So when they hear there is so much knowledge and they hear so many strong arguments against the materialistic and scientific perspective, then they can become influenced. And they become influenced to go in the theistic direction, that there is something there for them to hang on to put their faith in, and to defend their faith against these people who are saying simply it is a superstition. And they point to so many scriptural statements that sound ridiculous to them, to their ears, from the Bible or from even from the Bhagavatam or whatever. How many people say, you believe in this kind of thing? So they pick out those things that are a little maybe hard to understand from a material point of view, and they sound like mythology. But to give them some Vedantic ontology, then they can understand that there is some philosophical foundation and not a rational foundation. It is not only mythology. Who can't claim it's only mythology? There is some logical understanding also, rational foundation to what we're doing. Not that it has to be very profound. Simple things. But anyhow, we have to be prepared to preach to them. That's the point. And so many ways of doing that are there in our scriptures. And mainly your own conviction. If they meet someone who is very convinced, they can become convinced also. Has a very convincing idea, have a very convincing feeling, and humble and sincere feeling about what he is doing. And then anyone you speak to, they may also be convinced. But they will be convinced by your conviction. I remember we were preaching in the colleges once, and in Atlanta, in that area. And we came back from our preaching, and we were staying at the Atlanta Temple. And one new person came to the temple, and he told to me that, oh, I had seen you. I had seen you in such and such place, college. And he said, I don't remember what you said, but I remember the conviction you said it with. I must have been preaching about life comes from life. I said, I don't remember all the things you said, but I remember how much conviction you had about that. And that impressed me, and I came here to see how, where you got that from. So just our conviction can convince them. We used to go and even against the scientists. I mean, dismiss their science. We dismiss their scientific knowledge and present our point of view, and with conviction that they're, with the conviction that they don't know what they're talking about, and we have something that is very reasonable. And that explains things properly. Just like that, with that conviction, they can become convinced that what we're saying has some value. Anyhow, my experience. All right, next. Ebeshuna premeye mula prayojana pulakashu nitya gita yahara lakshana. Now hear from me what actual love of Godhead is. It is the prime object of life and is symptomized by bodily trembling, tears in the eyes, chanting and dancing. Smarantaha smarayantascha mito gokaharam harim tya sanjitaya bhaktya bibarat yut pulakam tanum. Pure devotees manifest spiritual bodily symptoms of ecstatic love simply by remembering and reminding others of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari, who takes away everything inauspicious from the devotee. This position is attained by rendering devotional service according to the regulative principles and then rising to the platform of spontaneous love. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.3.31.
Maharaj, Dandavat.
Dandavat, Maharaj.
Maharaj, I just want to know, this sadhan bhakti is plays a vital role in one in going to the, you know, this spontaneous devotion. Because our, you know, sampradaya is also, you know, known as, you know, worshipper of Raganuga Bhakti. But, you know, how, what role it plays, sadhan bhakti, in our, you know, this sampradaya, how it, you know, works?
Yes. In order to purify, in the process of purification, sadhana bhakti has a role. To purify. Without sadhana bhakti, following the regular principles, then how will we become purified? We are in a degraded state. And then by dedicating ourselves to sadhana, our regulative discipline, we can purify our bad tendencies, hopefully to some degree. At least that will help to avoid engaging in bad habits. Let's give up our bad habits, no, Prabhupada told. Then no meat eating, smoking, drinking, like that. No coffee, tea. Those four principles, regulative principles he gave to everyone. That's sadhana, that's part of sadhana. Also taking initiation from guru and all those things, all part of sadhana bhakti. Deity worship. And then by that process, we are becoming, at least becoming free from our bad habits of being disobedient and so forth, not following any authority, and being our own authority. So those bad habits have to be controlled, sadhana. And if we do that under the guidance of a genuine Raganuga Bhakta, then we can come to the plane of Raganuga also. Or just by developing attachment for Raganuga Bhakta and somehow becoming enamored by that such devotee, spontaneous devotee, feeling attraction for such a spontaneous devotee, and also by that devotee's affection for us, we can be raised into that platform of spontaneous love. I can get that position. But by practicing sadhana simply as a like that, as sadhana, we can't come to the stage of spontaneous. Bhakti of that level, Bhaganuga, Raga Bhakti has to come from a Raga Bhakta. Otherwise, we can remain in regulative service for a long time and may not come to the spontaneous platform. But we become very pure. We can become very pure by such process of sadhana bhakti. Certainly, one can become pure, and even that there is a stage of raganuga sadhana bhakti also, where even in as a sadhana bhakta, that raganuga or spontaneity can arise, even in the sadhana bhakta. Genuine love.
Haridas Thakur was also interacting with Mahaprabhu, and when he is also already established on the stage of love, him also he was giving very much emphasis to sadhana also at the time. And the rounds and like that.
That wasn't sadhana. No one can do that kind of sadhana that Haridas Thakur did. Haridas Thakur did. He had that a taste. He had the taste of Krishna Prem in the chanting of the names. Therefore, he was able to do that. Without taste, no one can do what he has done. Therefore, he is considered Harinamacharya. He had the real Harinam because he was chanting with taste, with rasa, with a name. Otherwise, who can chant like that as a merely a sadhana? You can't even chant a few rounds a day. Some devotees are not even able to chant a few rounds, even one or two or whatever, 16, 4, whatever Gurudev has given you. They are not even able to do that. And then how will they chant lakhs of names every day? Only one who has the taste, they can do that. That is never sadhana.
In India, Maharaj, many people, you know, try like that, you know, like imitating, you know, Haridas Thakur, I think.
And they
like
can do Brindavan. It? I don't know.
In Brindavan, like that, they try, Maharaj.
They may try, but I don't think any of them can do it. Oh, it doesn't have any taste. Simply for a show, or simply for duty, I think it would be very difficult to find anyone who can do that. Anyhow, there are so many things I guess people do, sitting in fire and in yoga positions and whatnot, undergo great austerities, but they have no love. Maybe possible. But certainly with love, it can be done very easily. Not easily, but it will be done. And how it can be accomplished. Then, the next verse. 25:141. If anyone is following with the reading, I see we have a couple of new additions here. Tripad Prabhu. Dhanavats Prabhu. Very nice to hear you again. Who's HTML? Who's HTMC?
Haridas.
Haridas Thakur. Haridas Prabhu. All right. Madhya 25:141. Evam vrtaha sva priyanama kirtya jatanurago dutu chitta uchahai. Asatyato roditi roti gayati umaravana nityati lokabhayaha. When a person is actually advanced and takes pleasure in chanting the holy name of the Lord, who is very dear to him, he is obligated, agitated, and loudly chants the holy name. He also laughs, cries, becomes agitated, and chants like a madman, not caring for outsiders. Therefore, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11:240. Ateva Bhagavata Sutrera Artha Rupa Nija Krita Sutrera Nija Bhasya Swarupa. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the actual meaning of the Vedanta Sutra. The author of Vedanta Sutra is Vyasadeva, and he himself has explained those aphorisms in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Arto yam brahma sutranam bharatartha vinirnayaha gayatri basya rupo so vedartha paribrimhitaha puranam samarupaha sakshar bhagavato ditaha dvarasa skanda yukto yam sata vicheda samyutaha granto stadas sahasraha Srimad Bhagavat Tabidaha. The meaning of the Vedanta Sutra is presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. The full purport of the Mahabharata is also there. The commentary of the Brahma Gayatri is also there and fully expanded with all Vedic knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme Puran. It was compiled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his incarnation as Vyasadeva. There are 12 cantos, 335 chapters, and 18,000 verses. Purport. This is a quotation from Garuda Purana. Very nice, important verse. 12 cantos, 335 chapters. 18,000 verses in Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Veditasanam Saram Sharam Samudritam. The essence of all Vedic literature and all histories has been collected in Srimad Bhagavatam. Purport. Srimad Bhagavatam was collected by the incarnation of God Vyasadeva, and it was later taught to his son Shukadeva Goswami. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.41. Sarva Vedanta Sharam Hi Srimad Bhagavatam Ishyate Tadrasamrita tṛptasya ananyatra syadratihi kvachit. Srimad Bhagavatam is accepted as the essence of all Vedic literature and Vedanta philosophy. Whoever tastes the transcendental mellow of Srimad Bhagavatam is never attracted to any other literature. Purport. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 12.13.15. Gayatira arteye kranta arambana satyam param samanda dimahi sarana prayojan. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is an explanation of the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. The absolute truth, satyam param, indicates the relationship, and we meditate dimahi on him indicates the execution of devotional service and the ultimate goal of life. Janmadasya tonvaya ditarachashtrati shu abhigyasvarat tenhe brahma hridyadi kavaye muyanti yatsurayaha tejo varimidam yata vinimayo yatratri sargomrsha dhamna srena sadani rastaku akam satyam param dimahi. This is the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudeva, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universe. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire, or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. And here we see in this amazing verse the entire Vedic philosophy. All truth of the Vedas is spoken in one verse in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Purport is the opening invocation of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes? One Didi Hardashtakur wants to, join in the Sangha. Sundari Didi, I just...
You put her in? Did you add her?
Yes, ma'am.
What's her name?
K. Sundari 86, that one.
It's looking like it's off. She's offline.
Maybe she's not in contact, my that's why.
Don't get dropped. So, yes, this is an amazing verse. The first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole explanation of Vedic literature is placed in this one verse. But, of course, the basic Siddhanta to find the actual meaning of the service of Radharani in here might be more subtle. But Srila Guru Maharaj, he did that. He found in the Gayatri Mantra how that it was actually representing the worship of Srimati Radharani in the highest sense. So that word param dimahi, satyam param dimahi, that we find in the Gayatri Mantra is also found in here, in this first verse. So even the worship of Srimati Radharani is explained here. if we help, find the help, take the help of Srila Sridhar Maharaj's explanation of Gayatri, we can find even that is represented in this first verse. So what kind of amazing verse this is. We should learn this verse. All learn the Sanskrit of this verse. Very nice. Janmadasya tonvaya ritaratrashtrateshu abhigyasrat. Very nice rhythm to it also. Here we find life comes from life also. Janmariyasya yaton. Janmariyasya means from where everything is born. Janma. When we celebrate Janmashtami, here we find that word Janma. Janma means birth. And Adi. Adi means who's the first birth. Or who's the origin of everything. From where is everything coming? Vedanta Sutra asks that in the second aphorism. It says, Janmariyasya, where does it all come from? First aphorism is Atato Brahma Jigyasa, that now you must inquire about Brahman or spirit. And then Janmadasya, then what is that origin of it? What is the origin of everything? How do you know that? How do you inquire about Brahma? About spirit, in the first answer, the first hint is given. How to inquire about Brahma, try to understand. Janmadasya, where is everything coming from? Where is everything coming from? So Janmadasya, where is everything is coming from? And when, what is the answer? Abhigyasvarat. Abhigya means the cognizant, independent cognitive being. This is the Supreme Life. So everything is coming from that Supreme Life. Everything, including life and matter, is coming from the Supreme Life. So life comes from life, matter comes from life. It is given right in the first line of this very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are preaching that. By preaching life comes from life, you are preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. There's no different. Not different. Non-different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Life comes from life. Matter comes from life. Whoever preaches that, they are preaching the Srimad Bhagavatam. It doesn't matter what language you use. It's the same thing. And who has this, of course, who has this Krishna consciousness. When they are speaking these things, they must have the rest of this also to know Tene Brahma Ridyadikavaya, that we are coming from the Brahma Sampradaya, that this knowledge is not coming from some mundane person. It was spoken by the Lord Himself to Brahma and then down to the disciple succession. And all other knowledge that is Maya appears to be real. But it is not. Who learn other knowledge, they are simply bewildered by that knowledge. Rather than coming to some good understanding of things, they become bewildered by all these people who are presenting so many other types of knowledge, wrong, so-called knowledge. Prabhupada used to tell, if you are presenting something as knowledge, scientific knowledge, you are presenting something as scientific knowledge, and then after a while they change. No, it's not like that, it's like this. Scientific theories coming after so many years, then that scientific theory is not the correct. They say, no, it's like this. First there is Newton, then there's Einstein. Then after Einstein there came Planck, quantum. First there's classical physics, then Einsteinian or relativistic physics, and then quantum physics. Then we're waiting for the next stage, string theory or whatever they come up with next. So Prabhupada said, that is not knowledge. They're calling it knowledge, but if you change it after some time, it is called mistake. You don't call it knowledge, you call it mistake. No, it's not like that, it's like this. It means you made a mistake. Then why are you calling it knowledge? It is mistaken, and its nature is to be mistaken. So here in the Bhagavatam it says, Muyanti. Muyanti. Muyanti means bewildering. Anyhow, if you read through this verse and the translation, you'll see everything is given there about the modes of material nature, and then about the transcendental abode, and then param dhimahi, about the highest worship. Any questions, comments?
Maharaj, those who can approach Srimad Bhagavatam, I think that is very qualified stage is needed to approach Bhagavatam than other scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and like that, because here it is directly starts from Dhimahi.
No, it doesn't. It ends in that. At the end of this sentence.
I want to say that this is first sloka.
Yeah. Well, this is, I've seen one other author write like this. He puts everything in the first sentence or the first paragraph, and then the explanation is given later. It's like giving a summary for first of what the chapter is about, and then giving the chapter and explaining in detail. In this case, he's given the first, the bija, the seed form of the whole Bhagavatam in one verse, in the first verse. Hegel is also does like that. I've seen in his book, he writes the whole thing in one paragraph and then explains it in all the other paragraphs. Many, not only him, but other authors may do like that. They give basically what they're going to teach in one initial concise form that may be very difficult for anyone to untangle and understand what it means. But then they give the full explanation so that the whole meaning becomes unraveled.
Like abstract?
Like an abstract, yes. Exactly. Who reads this in the first, they may not understand anything. What is he saying here? But when they come back and they read after reading the whole book and they come back and read the first sentence, then they see, oh, how cleverly they have done it, and that they put everything in this first sentence, and then everything else was expanded. It's simply an expansion of that. That's how Krishna works also. Everything is contained in him in the beginning, unmanifested. And then he expands himself, and everything comes out. And it's expressed. So this follows the same pattern as Krishna himself in manifesting himself in so many different expansions. All is contained with him in the beginning. And then, gradually, everything comes out from him. And everything can again return to him. It is all there within him from the beginning. And it's simply a manifestation of what he is in his full potency. It comes out in so many different forms and expressing his different potencies. And yet it is all within him at the same time. See? So the Bhagavatam has the same supreme form as the Lord. So when you teach, life comes from life. Everything is contained in that. The first line of the first verse of the Bhagavatam contains everything already. That contains everything right in that line, first line. If we understand fully that everything is coming from Krishna, and Krishna is full of all potencies, everything is within him, and everything comes out from him. So that is also complete in itself. And all the other things are just explanations of how that happens, how it becomes known, and how we return back to that understanding. You see how it works? How it is structured? Maybe some idea?
Yes, Mother. You know, it is little what you can say. Vyasadeva has given in a very nicely.
Yes. He is, after all, the Supreme Person. He thinks as God acts, he thinks, and as God thinks, he acts. All right, any other?
Harad.
Yes? Yes,
I have a doubt, Maharaj.
You have a doubt? Okay. What is your doubt?
Maharaj, actually, our rule says that we should not kill anyone. Any killing should not be done. But vegetable sprouts, we get sprouts, Maharaj.
What's this?
Green grams sprouts.
Agree? Oh, yes. Okay.
Whether that is something sort of a killing, because life is there. Life has already started in that gram seed, and it started sprouting. That means that life has taken place in that.
Yes.
In that,
yes,
particular,
yes,
yes, material.
Yes.
But I think we are eating that, actually.
Eating sprouts? You're eating sprouts?
Yes.
Yes, it is not exactly a Vaishnava food.
Yes.
Vaishnavas don't eat sprouts because of that. They're still living.
Yes, Maharaj.
But of course, you know, from that point of view, it is kind of like taking a baby and killing it. Sprout means a baby grass.
Yes, Maharaj.
Or whatever, maybe. Bean sprouts or whatever they eat, sprout, different kinds of sprouts. So really, it is not a Vaishnava food.
Yes, Mother.
But from another point of view, everything is living. Even you eat an apple, it is, the life is there also, in every cell. But it's not from the original tree, that the life of the tree. You're not taking the life of the tree. You're taking the life of the apple, but not of the tree. And something like that. We have to, you see, jiva jiva sajivanam. It is not possible for us to live without taking life. Not possible. It is the way it has been created. So we take what can be offered to Krishna.
But is the right way, Maharaj, to offer those props to Krishna? And
I haven't heard of that. That's why I say it's not Vaishnava food, because we don't offer that to Krishna. I've never heard of that being offered to Krishna. Gurudev never mentioned that to us, that we can offer sprouts to Krishna. But again, that is the basis upon which we make our judgment, what to eat or not eat. From another perspective, an objective perspective, it is also life, and an apple is also life. But what has been given to us to eat, to offer, that's what we eat generally.
Maharaj, yes, Maharaj, but apple doesn't have life, no, Maharaj.
No,
because the seed has not yet started. That the life has not yet started. It is there, still there in material form only.
I see. But what about a potato? Now you keep a potato, it will grow some roots. You see, you're taking it from the potato tree, but you can put it in the water, and it will grow another potato plant. So life is there.
Yes, Maharaj.
Okay. Anyhow, but like I said, that's not the thing, because from that point of view, jiva jiva siddhi, we must require life. That is the law of nature. But that we offer what we can offer to Krishna, it comes down to us from Krishna himself, what Krishna tells us, and what Gurudev, their pure devotee, tell us that Krishna likes to eat. We try to offer those things and eat that. Now, there may be circumstances that we will eat something else for our health or whatever. And then, we have to make some compromise.
Yes,
but strictly speaking, we should offer what we can offer to Krishna, that is prasad. What has been told to us to offer, that we should consider for Vaishnava, proper Vaishnava food.
Yes, Mother.
And we don't want to offer him garlic and onion and things like that. Those Gurudev told that not to offer those things.
Yes,
and that comes from scripture also. There must be some place in scripture where this is said. I don't know where it is. But then, foods in the mode of certain modes, we don't offer.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. All right. Then who is new here today? Haridas. Dhanavad. Haridas. And who is K.S.?
Kamala Sundari, the Haridas Prabhu's wife.
Oh. Right. Dhanavad. They are from Brazil, you said?
Sundari is from America. You might have seen her, I think.
They're from, all from California?
Yes.
Haridas.
Haridas is from Venezuela.
Venezuela, okay. Very nice. Happy to.
Haridas Prabhu can unmute, because I told him mute, so he's...
It's okay, it's okay.
We can be nice with you.
Very happy to see them. All right. And I think we'll end my dhanyavad to you. Dhanyavad to you.
Jai Shri Padma
Puri Mata. Jai Guru Dev. Jai Guru Dev. Jai.